I'll read from verse 8 of Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2 and verse 8. It is just this portion that we were singing together about the shepherds in the field. Luke chapter 2 and verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, and it was told unto them. Amen. Let us bow. Friends, these passages that we have read together about the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ have many things in common. There are certain things that are varied in these portions that we read. Different accounts looking at it from different angles and even different times. The account of the wise men going to see Christ, it was at a different time. It was most likely around 2 years after the birth of Jesus Christ, which is something to think about. It was a different place that they went. They went to a house, not to the inn, and so on. But it's looking at the life of Christ and the birth of Christ and the coming of Christ from different angles. It has certain things in common. One of the things that we have read, and it's been repeated three times, is the phrase, fear not. Fear not. And that's what I want us to think about this morning. The birth of Jesus Christ dispels fear from every heart who receives Him. Fear is something that we grapple with, we deal with all the time, every day. Fear has been a part of human existence since the beginning, since the fall of man that we read in Genesis chapter 3. He was fearful when he fell into sin. He was worried. He was anxious. Adam was. And then all of his children have been anxious. There's been nobody who has not been anxious and fearful. Everyone, regardless of how brave they seem, is afraid of something. The manliest man is afraid of something. What are you afraid of? I won't tell you what I am afraid of, but what are you afraid of? Think about it. What does it mean to fear? What does it mean? If I was to ask you, define fear, what would you say? It means to be frightened. It means to be alarmed. Some of you might be scared of and fearful of snakes or spiders. you're afraid of diseases. You're always worried, maybe, about catching something. You might be afraid of financial setbacks. You are afraid, maybe, of old age. You color your hair. As soon as you find one gray hair there, I need to sort that out, you might say. All of us are afraid of rejection. We don't want to be rejected by people. We want people like us. We're all afraid of disappointments. We're all afraid of exposures, to be found out. We're afraid of maybe being forgotten, being alone. We're afraid of that. And many other things. One dictionary defines it this way, fear. A painful emotion or passion excited by an expectation of evil or the apprehension of impending danger. It means to be anxious over something. It means to have this anxiety, to be terrified even of something. And you have that in your life. You have that as well recorded in the Bible. Many people who had fears. If you read the Bible, you find a man, Abraham. He lied about his wife Sarah. Why? Because he was fearful. You do silly things. You do sinful things because of fear. There was Jacob who had fear regarding his brother, Esau. Moses was fearful of Pharaoh. Moses feared rejection. The disciples, they had many fears. At one point they feared the storm that was there, and they were caught in it. Peter feared the drowning. But another understanding of fear which is a good one, is when we are in the awe of God, awe of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, the scripture says. To fear God, it means to revere Him, to honor Him, to worship Him, to love Him, to recognize that He's the highest, to think highly of Him, to have highest thoughts of Him, to obey Him. These are good things, positive things. But most people don't think about fear when they discuss fear. We don't think about godly fear. We think about being alarmed, being frightened, being scared of something, being anxious and terrified of some things. And in these portions that we have read together, it speaks about the coming of Jesus Christ. And with it, with this message that comes out, the angels say, fear not. They say something that the Savior would often repeat to His disciples. Let not your heart be troubled. Fear thou not, He said. You see, nothing has changed. People are still caught up in the grip of their fears. And even during the happiest times, any of you who have got married, it's the most fearful day of your life. You're worried about things going wrong, everything going wrong. And no one else is worried about it, but you're worried about it. Your parents are worried about it. Even in the happiest times. And it ruins things. Fear ruins things. In the holiday times, when there's a family gathering, family celebrations, it's filled with fear, anxieties. A time to be joyful about. A time to be happy about. You might fear, well, have you got enough? Is there enough food? Is there enough money? Am I meeting everyone's expectations? Have you got enough time? We worry about meals and about all sorts of things. Our outfit and are there this person going to be there? Is that person not going to be there? We fear. Man fears everything. I remember reading about this preacher called John McNeill. He was called Scotch Spurgeon. He had a nickname. And he speaks about his childhood, that he had to walk long distance home every evening. And his that path that he took led him through a forest, and it was a scary ordeal for him as a young child. It was very spooky. It was very scary for a young child. There were dark things there. And he says this, and I will quote him. He says, "One night it was especially dark, and I was aware that something or someone was moving slowly and quietly toward me. And I was sure it was a robber. When a voice called out, its eerie tone struck my heart with fear. I thought I was finished. Then came a second call. This time I could hear the voice saying, 'John, is that you?' It was my father." He had, and so he speaks about the fact that that relieved him. As soon as he heard, he recognized his father's voice. He was relieved. That dispelled all his fears. "My father has come to meet me," because he knows I was fearful in the way. A word from the Father. A word from God to your heart this morning. It casts out fear. The love of Christ casts out fear. Three times God sent angelic messengers to the earth with this message, connecting the birth of the Son of God, Jesus Christ, and the message goes forth with the truth, "Fear not, fear not." And that's what I want us to think about, that all fear is gone by the birth of Jesus Christ, by Christ's birth. All fear is dispelled. But we must have him. We don't just have it in a book, but we must have this, the Savior, by faith. And there are three things I want to say in the time that we have. One of them is this, that there is no fear in what you face in your life if you have Christ, this Savior. And that's what we see in this portion that we read together in Luke's Gospel. And chapter 1, we read this portion in verses 26 through to 38. And it's speaking to us and says that there is no fear in what you face in your life. Why is that? Because a person who has come to know this Savior, Jesus Christ, who was born in this fashion, why do we have fear about what God does in our lives? The scripture teaches a truth of what we call providence. This chapel is called providence. What does that mean? It's a very wonderful word. It's a special word. Providence means this care, the guardianship, the control that has been exercised by God. It speaks about divine direction. God has directed us. God has kept us. God has provided for us and cared for us. That's what providence means. It's the overruling watchful care and involvement of God in the lives of people. Is God involved in your life? And this is what we see here. In verses 26 and 27, you see here God intervening in Mary's life. And what we find in Mary is a calmness and peace. There we read that there was an angel named Gabriel who came, was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth. And then this angel is sent to this virgin who is espoused to Joseph to be married. And when Gabriel appears to Mary, she's probably about 15 or 16 years of age. She has probably grown up dreaming the same kind of dream that many young girls have dreamed since the dawn of time. Dreaming of marriage and dreaming of a home and dreaming of a family. That's how it has been. She's even engaged to a man named Joseph. She's to be married soon. And the Bible explains that she has maintained her sexual purity as well as her spiritual purity. She's a godly woman. She thinks about spiritual things. She is trusting in the Lord. All is going well for her. A bright future is awaiting her. She has everything for which to live. Maybe you are right now very happy. And we are always happy when things are going well for us. When things are going as just as you have planned. But those days often seem fleeting. There are few when compared to the days when trials stalk us. When trials come after us. One thing after the other comes. Things change very quickly in life. This is what happened to her. And so what we find, this Mary's life is transformed. It is challenged. And Gabriel comes and makes this announcement to her that she's going to be with child. Her life is immediately turned upside down. Mary is called upon to bear shame. Mary is called upon to bear reproach and humiliation. For what? For the glory of God. Because the Savior is coming. Hers is to be the greatest honor ever afforded to women. But at the same time, it carried with it a tremendous social stigma. Very much unlike our day. My friends, when think about this. When your lives do not go as you planned it, it is not easy. But what is easy is to fear. To fear that which is unknown. Often God will allow, and I would go to say, God chooses certain things to happen in your life that are hard to bear and hard to understand. But what do you do in those times? Instead of trusting in Jesus Christ, instead of trusting His will, do you harden yourself? Do you worry? Is your heart filled with anxieties and cares and you lose heart? Is that how you respond to it? It's easy to do that. When these times arises, it is easy to question God and says, well, why did God take away my grandmother? Why did God fill my child with cancer? Why did God do that? And we stand in judgment of God. That's an easy option to take. And many people do take it. Maybe you have done that. But we are to be humbled and we are to realize that I need God in that situation. I need the Lord. You can only have Him, my friends. You can only have God in that situation in your life is if you humble yourself and receive Christ. The secret to surviving the dreadful times is to learn to trust completely the Lord. I read about a young lady called Nancy, who was a poor young woman. She earned a meager living by hard work, but yet she was radiant. She was happy. She was joyful. She was a triumphant Christian believer. One day, a healthy and also a wealthy lady with a very gloomy outlook on life said to her, "You're happy now. But what about later?" she said. "Or suppose your employer moves you and you have no job. What will you do then? Or suppose something else happens." And as soon as she said, "suppose," Nancy stopped and said, "Stop! I never suppose," she says. "I never suppose. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. That's what makes me happy. That's what gives me joy. God is there for me. The Lord is my shepherd. I will not want anything. I won't lack anything. I don't need anything. Because He will provide all that I need." And she added this, "And it is all those supposes that are making you so miserable. Why don't you give them up and trust the Lord completely?" And that sums it all up. Here was this woman who was challenged. Her world was turned upside down. But it's despite the shame that was sure to come upon her, despite the humiliation she would bear, and the fact that here is a woman who is not married and she's having a child, all of that, she was willing to trust God's message and messenger and submit her life to the will of God? What if Mary just ignored the message, as many people do? Just ignore God's word, ignore the gospel. Or what if in this thing has happened and it's ruined her life? What if she got angry? What if she just despised what was happening? Or feared and fretted of what would happen to her? Is this not what many people, when they are faced with fear and real issues of life, is not how people react? Is this what you do? Christ is born to take away fear in life. But let me go on quickly to the second thing. And that is this, that there is no fear in what God has planned. There is no fear. When Jesus Christ is in your life, there is no fear in what God has planned. And with that, we move to Matthew chapter 1 that we read together. There in verse 20 of Matthew chapter 1, we read this. But while he thought on these things, that is Joseph, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Don't fear. Fear not. What does Joseph do in this situation? Think about it. Think about, again, Joseph's life was transformed by this message of the birth of Jesus Christ. Oh, that our lives might be changed by the message of the birth of Jesus Christ. But Joseph, like Mary, was on the way to having all that a Jewish man could have asked for in that day. He was going to be married to a godly woman, a righteous Jewish girl. Everything was falling into place for this young man. Then came the news that shattered his life and brought all of his dreams and hopes crashing down to the ground. Mary was pregnant, and Joseph was not the father. And with all of his dreams shattered, his hopes dashed, his pride lost, with all of that, life seemed to be over for him. And there are two possible options for him now. He could divorce Mary quietly, it says there, privily, privately, quietly, and have her send away until the baby was born. Or secondly, he could divorce her publicly, make her sure of it, make an example of her, and subject her to ridicule and humiliation to the public. And even there was the option of her being stoned to death. But Joseph's life was literally turned upside down by the news of Mary's pregnancy, by the news of this birth and the coming of this child. Have you not faced something similar in your life? You thought everything was lined up for you. You had planned, you booked the ticket, you were going to go to this thing, and all was right. It was all going to work out. You're hoping for the best. And something happened which messed it all up. However, this kind of a thing happens to all of us. This kind of a issue of disappointments happen to all of us. Why is that? Why do bad things happen? People ask this question all the time. Why does God allow these things to take place? It's because we are in a sinful world. We are in a cursed world. That's why bad things happen. But this wasn't a bad thing. This wasn't a bad thing. This was a good thing that was happening. But to Joseph, at that point in time, it was a bad thing. It ruined his life. Job once said this in Job chapter 14. We read, man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble. Of course, his life was full of trouble. One thing after another. If you know the story of Joseph's life, he had all kinds of problems that he faced. He suffered the loss of everything that he had worked for and everything that he loved. None of us have experienced that in this place. His was a life of trial and trouble. And he said, this is what man is like. And Joseph's life that day was ruined, he thought. But God confirmed this truth to him. And Joseph willingly took the assignment that was offered to him by God. And that's what you find in verses 24 and onwards. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. There was no fear. There was no mention of fear. Then he simply did what the Lord said. He trusted in the Lord. My friends, don't fear God's purposes in your life. They may look bad in the beginning, but in the end, if you turn these things to Jesus Christ and come to Him and trust in Him, it will turn out for your good. You will have to look back and see, God's hand was upon me. God's hand was there. He led me and guided me and provided for me. Somehow I managed. At the time I thought I won't manage, but somehow I managed. God does these miracles. Nothing is impossible with Him, the scripture says. And so, regardless of what comes your way in life, this is what we read, and this is what we learn in the birth of Jesus Christ, is that you must determine in your heart that you would trust in Christ in every situation, in every part of your life, and give it all over to Him and say, Thy will be done. But one thing I want more than anything else is Thy salvation, O Lord. And the Lord Jesus Christ, who was born, He dispels not just fears then, but He dispels fears in our lives now. And then finally, there is no fear because of salvation. There is no fear because of salvation. And that is what we see in the life of those shepherds that we read together from Luke chapter 2. Think about it. Think about what you read. We sing about these words, and we can bypass these words quickly. But think about these men. Think, these men were there at night. It shows us that they were also, their soul was in darkness. They were under a great burden, these shepherds. These men were the shepherds of Christ's day. They were socially outcast of the day. They were usually vulgar people, uneducated people, dirty people, smelly and unkempt people. Have you ever seen a shepherd in the Middle East? We live very clinically clean lives today. But have you been with someone that you sit a few meters away from them and you can smell them? You don't want to be with them? They talk in a crude and rude manner, and you say, well, I don't want my children to hear these things, and so on. We don't want to be with them, naturally speaking. However much we say, well, okay, well, I'll send my wife and children away. I'll go and see them. Well, I don't want any others to be near them. Well, things haven't changed. It was the same with them. They were outcasts. They were also religiously outcasts. And they didn't care much about Christian things or religious things or spiritual things. That by virtue of their jobs, they were defiled and considered unfit to participate in the ceremonies of the temple. They didn't want them to be in the temple. They were unclean. They were separated from both God and man. And if any man needed hope, it was these men. Hope is what they got. And salvation is what they got. And that's us, friends. That's, they're a picture of natural man. Every one of us here, naturally speaking, that's the state of man. Separated from God but because of our sins. And we are doomed to an eternity apart from God. But this is why the birth of Jesus Christ is so wonderful. Because Jesus Christ came to these men. And if He came to them, His message is also true for us. And so what they have is happiness when they hear this message. Their lives are also transformed. These outcasts, keepers of the sheep and the lamb, these are the people who first to receive the news of the Lamb of God who's come into the world. What a privilege has been afforded to these humble shepherds. Why were these shepherds afraid? There again, the angel says, fear not. Why were they afraid? You see, this is a picture again of every one of us. Sinners have always displayed fear when they're confronted with the reality of God. When you face the reality of God and His holiness, it fills our heart with fear. We find ourselves, we don't have any hope. Because coming face to face with the Almighty has a way of making one have to face our own sin, my own sin. That's true. That's a true cause for fear. You see, God is holy. Peter once faced the Lord Jesus Christ and he felt so miserable and he felt so unholy. And so he said to the Lord Jesus, depart from me, for I am an unrighteous man, O Lord. Sinners ought to fear God. But that fear is the beginning of knowledge. If you take the Lord at His word, it's the beginning of knowledge. We must remember that the Lord's presentations are also His invitations to come. When the Lord reveals Himself, He's inviting sinners like us to come to Him. When He shows Himself to man, our response, what's your response when God is speaking to you? Maybe this morning, God is speaking to you. What's your response to Him? Is it one of faith? Do you come to Him by faith, believing Him and taking hold upon these truths? And say, this is mine. I want to have it for myself as well. I don't want just these shepherds to be saved. I want myself to be saved. I want my family to be saved. I want my loved ones to be saved. The Lord Jesus Christ has spoken and said very strong words about believing on Him and those who don't believe on Him. He says, if ye believe not that I am He, ye shall die in your sins. He spoke very bluntly about these things. But praise God, here is a word, fear not. The shepherds heard from the angel. After these shepherds went to find out if these things were true. After they met the baby Jesus, they were forever changed, we read. They left that place, they left the manger, and they went to spread the good news that the Messiah has come. All those who heard the shepherds, they marveled, the scripture says, at this account. It must have been a strange thing to hear these shepherds speaking about spiritual things, to speak about God and salvation and the coming of the Messiah, and to see them happy. It must have been a strange thing to people. When these shepherds heard the message of the angel, they reacted with fear, but that fear eventually led to their salvation. So it is with us. Some may fear to hear the message of the gospel, and some may fear to come to Jesus Christ. You may say, well, if I come, then so many things have to change in my life, and I fear that. Some may say, well, they fear and say, well, will God forgive me? What do I have to do? And you might fear and say, I have to do this, I have to do that. I have to try to be a good person, and I can't be a good person. I've tried to do it, but I can't be a good person. You've said to yourself. And that may cause you fear. Well, it's not about what you do. Your goodness that God saves. It's because of Jesus Christ that God saves. So, if He's calling you this morning, come to Him. There is nothing to fear. Just fear your sin and flee to Jesus Christ. That's what we ought to do. Turn away from your way to the way of the Savior, Jesus Christ. If you come to Him, you will not be cast away. You will not be turned away, the scripture says. He has power to save you and keep you forever. That's what the Bible tells us. He can take a life of wickedness. He can take a life of religious self-righteousness and change and transform that life for His own glory. So here it is. Three times these angels announced this message of the birth of the Savior. And three times there is the word, fear not, fear not. Three times they receive this reaction of fear in these people. However, when fear has have been dealt with, and the Lord's message was brought to people's hearts, and they trusted in that. It was filled with the promises of grace and joy and happiness. So it is now, today. There be those things around us as well, those things that causes you to fear, even at this time. What will you fear about? If you have Jesus Christ, then there is nothing else to fear. So there was Mary, there was Joseph, there were these shepherds. They did not expect what they were to hear and see that day that God visited them. Their life was turned upside down after that. But we praise God for it. Everyone who also faces Jesus Christ, their life is turned upside down. But we praise God for that. We thank God for that fear that brought us to Jesus Christ. Friends, where are you then? Are you going to have fear through your life? Or are you going to be one who will say, well, I've turned all of my fears into the hand of Jesus Christ, who has died for my soul and has saved my soul. Bring those things to the Savior even today. Bring those things to the Lord Jesus Christ. What you should fear should be your sin. Bring that to the Lord Jesus Christ. You have disappointments. You have things that has caused you to harden your heart. Bring those things to the Lord Jesus Christ. You have burdens that are too heavy for you and you're fearing what will happen. Bring those things to the Lord Jesus Christ. Is there brokenness and despair in your life? Bring that to Christ, even today. And the Lord takes and replaces it with peace, the scripture says, which passes all understanding. Fear not is the gospel message at the birth of Jesus Christ. Praise God that through His birth, He dispels all fear. Amen.